I'm Tracy Sable. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, loud and unclear, another round of explosions hit handheld electronic devices in Lebanon. We have the latest. Funding the government. Republicans move forward with a budget proposal that includes a measure for election security. Devotion amid danger.
I face more or less on a daily basis that these people spit in front of me or behind me. Sometimes they spit also. This cross had a lot of spitting attacks or really physically attack me.
The war between Israel and Hamas is leading to attacks on Catholics. We bring you the story of one priest who decided to stay despite the risks. Plus, signs of life. The Holy Father reflects on his recent 12-day trip and one difference between the church in Europe and Southeast Asia. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of St. Joseph of Cupertino. Our top story tonight, former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris take a brief break from campaigning in battleground states, but the two presidential candidates remain focused on the key issues they hope will win over voters. This comes just 48 days until Election Day. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
That's right, Tracy. Tonight, former President Donald Trump holds a rally in Uniondale, New York. And later this week, he's expected to be in the nation's capital and in North Carolina. Meanwhile, today, Vice President Harris spoke here in Washington, D.C., and has upcoming trips to Michigan and Wisconsin. And the clock is ticking fast to November.
Vice President Kamala Harris addresses the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute's annual leadership conference.
We are confronting two different, very, very different visions for our nation. One focused on the past, the other, ours, focused on the future.
Also today, her campaign releasing a new ad focused on abortion, the spot featuring a young woman who says she was raped as a child.
I was 12 when he impregnated me. I didn't know what to do. But I had options.
But SBA Pro-Life America writes, pro-life laws protect mothers and babies. Meanwhile, last night, at a rally in Flint, Michigan, Donald Trump speaking out about the recent threats to his life.
You know, only consequential presidents get shot at. When I say something like that, you have countries saying, this guy, but what can you do? You have to do what you have to do, right? We have to be brave, otherwise we're not going to have a country left.
And Trump tells supporters that if elected on his first day in office...
Day one, we're doing two things. Closing the border and drill, baby drill. Two things. We're going to get down the prices.
Also, representatives for former President Trump and Vice President Harris's transition teams meeting for the first time at the White House. That's according to the Biden administration. The goal? A smooth handoff to whomever wins in November and moves in this January.
In addition, we're tracking another campaign development. Here it is, the Teamsters Union announcing it will not endorse either presidential candidate. They say neither Harris nor Trump has sufficient support from the 1.3 million member union. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is moving ahead with a vote on a six-month government funding plan. The bill includes the SAVE Act, a provision to prevent non-U.S. citizens from registering to vote in upcoming elections. However, it is expected to fail. So, what's next? Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us now with the latest. Eric.
Well, good evening, Tracy. Yes, time is not on lawmakers' side. The government runs out of money as the clock strikes midnight on September 30th. Now, prior to tonight's vote, House Speaker Mike Johnson reiterated yet again that keeping the SAVE Act in the funding bill is crucial to democracy, and it's what the country stands for.
They can throw an election. They can throw the majority of the House. It could affect a presidential race. It's very, very serious stuff, and that's why we're going to do the right thing. We're going to responsibly fund the government. And we're going to stop non-citizens voting in elections.
Most Americans agree the SAVE Act needs to be in.
We would like to attach something to the CR so that the American people know that their vote counts and non-citizens' votes don't count.
Pass a CR with SAVE and let's jam it down their throats. And if they won't do it, then we pass the CR into March and leave town.
Speaker Johnson must reject the most extreme voices in his party and quickly move toward a Four Corners agreement so we can avoid a costly Republican-led shutdown. The American people want to see an end to the chaos.
Not all Republicans are on board. Some tell me with the national debt at $36 trillion and climbing, Congress should be making true spending cuts, not pass a CR that continues former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's left-wing agenda.
There's things in there like funding late-term abortion centers, funding gender transition centers, giving money to Hamas, giving money to Lebanon, which goes to Hezbollah. All of these different things we're continuing, and I just can't support them.
In the Senate, they're gearing up for a funding bill of their own.
We've been here before. I'm for whatever avoids a government shutdown, and that'll ultimately end up, obviously, being a discussion between the Democratic leader and the Speaker of the House.
The Speaker's CR is too unworkable. I urge him to drop his plan, to work together, to reach a bipartisan agreement with the other leaders, Leader McConnell, Leader Jeffries, and myself, as well as the White House. We do not have time to spare.
If the funding bill with the SAVE Act does fail tonight, as expected, the Senate will likely take the lead, pass a clean CR till December, and send it back to the House for a vote next week. Well, as I mentioned, time is ticking very fast, and Republicans say that they may be forced to pass it. Otherwise, a shutdown will occur on September 30th. Bottom line, no one wants a shutdown before an election. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
Well, the CEO of Boeing says the company is set to take measures to save money during the current labor strike. The airline manufacturer says that it will begin temporary layoffs for a large number of employees. They are set to be furloughed for 1 week each month. The move comes amid a strike among factory workers in the Pacific Northwest. The work stoppage began soon after employees rejected a proposed pay raise of 25% over 4 years. Well, all eyes were on the Federal Reserve today as it made its first interest rate cut since 2020. The cut is expected to pave the way for lower borrowing costs on everything from mortgages to credit cards. The Federal Reserve said inflation continues to drop steadily toward the targeted 2% mark. The stock market rose sharply following the news, but ultimately ended the day down roughly 100 points. And for more, let's bring in Dr. Jeffrey Campbell, professor of economics at the University of Notre Dame. Jeffrey, great to have you back on again. This was a pretty aggressive rate cut by the Fed. Did it surprise you at all? And what does this signal?
So it surprised me greatly. It surprised everyone I spoke with. Everyone had been pricing in 25 basis points or half of what actually happened. The cut itself, the aggressiveness, signals a real dedication by the Fed to easing rates in the near future and to ensuring that, in their view, that unemployment does not get too high. There's an accompanying document that comes along with the decision called the Survey of Economic Projections, and it has most of the, if not all of the FOMC participants anticipating a really rapid and aggressive series of rate cuts for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and talk to us more about what this is going to mean for our economy and consumers.
Well, for consumers, primarily, I mean, consumers, this matters for them in two ways. One, having a job so they have something to spend, and two, having low prices so that they can that spending buys them something. The Fed is focused very squarely on one pillar of its dual mandate, which is maximum sustainable employment, or as I like to put it, minimum sustainable unemployment. On the other hand, inflation is still running above the Fed's 2% target. And the Fed's plans, as outlined in that Survey of Economic Projections, don't really show how they're going to get that back down to 2%. It's about 2.5 to 2.6% now. And there's nothing credible in that document that says we're going to be able to lower producers' costs so that inflation comes down.
How soon are we going to see the impact of, say, mortgage rates?
Mortgage rates are going to respond immediately. In fact, they already have. Financial market rates like that, those change very quickly. And so mortgage rates have come down, and we'll be seeing that probably exacerbating one of the big challenges that Americans face, which is affording a home. Because as mortgage rates come down, more people are able to finance a bigger house, and they bid up the prices of existing houses.
Before I let you go, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to switch gears here, and I want to ask you about this potential longshoreman strike on October 1st. Now, I know if a deal isn't reached, I mean, this could shut down ports from Maine all the way down to Texas just in time for Christmas. What are the implications here?
Well, the implications, fortunately, are not going to be very big if there is a strike. Most retailers pre-shipped their inventories before knowing that this was coming down the pike. So it looks like there's not going to be a huge amount of disruption at your local big box. On the other hand, the shipments that are left to get through, there will be some complications if the strike goes through, logistic complications.
All right. Well, thank you so much for weighing in. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, Tracy.
Our Secretary of State Antony Blinken is making his 10th trip to the Middle East since the Israel-Hamas war began. This time, he is taking part in talks in Cairo aimed at finding a ceasefire. The latest mission comes without any projections from the Biden administration that a peace deal is imminent. Blinken says, as of now, he has no plans to go to Israel to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. As the Secretary of State works to negotiate peace, fear on the streets of Lebanon amid a second wave of explosions from handheld electronic devices. This comes one day after several people were killed by exploding pagers targeting the terror group Hezbollah. Hezbollah officials say today's blast came from walkie-talkies and even solar equipment. The explosions were heard at a funeral in Beirut for Hezbollah members killed in Tuesday's attack. Lebanon's health ministry says at least 14 people were killed. At the same time, Israel's defense minister has declared the start of a new phase of the war as forces turn toward the northern front to fight Hezbollah. He made no mention of the Lebanon explosions. And now to Poland, where seven people are dead due to massive flooding. As you can see, gas stations, neighborhoods, and even cemeteries are completely flooded. High levels of water are expected to continue for days. Thousands of soldiers are in action evacuating people and animals, while residents from an affected town are calling on the prime minister to send someone to direct the cleaning and recovery, as they think it has been chaotic and inefficient. Slovakia is another country that has been affected. Take a look at how the Danube River there has overflowed and submerged the city. Pope Francis says that he is praying for the victims of flooding that has impacted Central and Eastern Europe. A state of emergency in Portugal. It comes as more than 100 wildfires burn out of control. One home consumed by the fires erupted in an explosion during an on-air TV report.
Os motivos pelos quais não e agora uma explosão.
Just incredible. Several other European countries have sent resources to battle the blaze. A satellite service says that more than 37,000 acres have burned, and an area home to more than 200,000 acres is considered at risk. And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including giving thanks. An American who spent several years in a prison in Russia reflects on being back home. And a Catholic therapist weighs in with tips on how to beat stress. Following his release from Russia in a prisoner swap, Paul Whelan is thanking those who helped to bring him home.
As you saw, the Michigan delegation is welcoming me home here. I've been meeting with people today and just touring Washington, and I'm grateful, very grateful for all the efforts of the Michigan delegation. It was a bipartisan effort that brought me home.
Well, the 54-year-old was detained in Moscow in 2018 and convicted of espionage. 2 years later, he was set to serve a 16-year sentence. Both Whelan and U.S. government officials say the conviction is baseless. Well, on a different note, if you have been feeling stressed out lately, you certainly are not alone. According to a new study, almost 2 out of 5 people in the U.S. say they have reached their peak stress level. The survey of 2,000 American adults found the number one stressor for people was their personal finances, followed by the economy and their physical health. Other issues stressing people out: the 2024 presidential election and other world issues. And here to talk to us more about this and the best ways we as Catholics can combat stress is Allison Ricciardi, licensed mental health counselor and founder of CatholicTherapist.com. Allison, always good to be with you. A lot to get to, but first, are you at all surprised by the findings of the study? And does this correlate with what you see as a therapist?
Absolutely. I'm not at all surprised. Actually, I would have thought the number was even higher. Everyone is dealing with a high level of stress today. So I want to offer just a few suggestions that might be helpful. Number one, monitor yourself. We all know when we feel like we're getting really stressed out, our jaw may be clenched, we're getting tight, we're shaking. All right, that's the time to just stop everything and reground yourself. Try to identify the top three sources of your stress. Now, I know some of them seem like we can't do anything about them, or finances or whatever. A lot of the time, though, it's the way we're thinking about it that makes all the difference. Once you identify the top three sources, try to contain them. And what I mean by that is if it's coming from the outside, if it's social media, the news, the state of the world, set up times where you're totally disconnected from that. If it's coming from other people in your life, which is very common, set some boundaries. It's like putting up a fence and only having a gate here and there, right? So you can turn off your ringer, let your phone calls go to voicemail, all right? Set up times where you're just completely away from everything. Counter the stress. Once you've contained it, we want to counter it. And what I mean by that is like some good self-care, good music, a good book, a funny movie, anything that's going to help you to feel a little bit less stressed. Now, of course, as Catholics, we want to turn to prayer. That's really important. But I want to issue a little caution there. Sometimes our prayer becomes a litany of our woes, and we just keep repeating them and actually keeps us in the, you know, in that stressful state. What we want to do is listen. So I recommend reading scripture, thinking about Jesus's miracles, his power, his mercy. Things may seem very dark in the world right now. They certainly seem that way. And they may seem very dark in your life. But the darkest day in history was Good Friday. And we know that was followed by Easter Sunday, right? So stay in the present moment. If you find yourself ruminating about the past or really worrying about the future, stay in the present moment. Just look at like what's around you, especially if you feel panicky. If you're really struggling, get on Catholic Therapist, find somebody that can help you to find ways to kind of contain it and to work through it. Also, some of you may be familiar with the Surrender Novena, Father Dolindo Rotolo. It's wonderful. I posted a link on our CatholicTherapist.com Facebook page. It's awesome that we just surrender everything to Jesus. Let him take care of it. There's more than we can handle. Focus only on what you can control. And I mean, sometimes a source of our stress may be our clutter, or we keep losing our keys. There might be some simple solutions to those things, but when it's all together, it's really hard to find solutions to it. So break it down. What are the top three sources and start to attack it that way?
Yeah, those are all great, great suggestions. Now, what about if you notice a friend as being stressed? I mean, what are some signs for us to look for, and maybe friends and family, and how can we help them?
Well, I think, first of all, acknowledge it, all right? That's really helpful when we affirm another person and say, listen, you look like you're really stressed out. Number one, is there anything I can do to help? And also maybe help them with these steps. Say, okay, break it down. What is the most stressful thing? Now, there are many things we can't control. We can't control the economy. We can't control what's going on in the world. But can we control what we're letting in? You know, so try to help them identify what is really stressing them out and break it down into, you know, bite-sized pieces. Attack the low-hanging fruit. Are there simple things they can do to reduce their stress?
Yeah, that's great, too. Now, we always talk about stress being really a negative thing, but can there be any positives about stress?
Sure. Stress can make us feel like, you know, we push forward when we have stress, right? When we need to, you know, maybe you're building a business, or maybe you're studying for an exam. That can really be helpful stress, right? We want to always be stretching a little bit. But I think what we're really talking about really is more that negative stress that really drags us down.
Yeah, before I let you go quickly, any other tips or suggestions that you'd like to offer our audience?
Be present to other people, be present to yourself, and know that God has this, right? Everything that happens is with a reason and a mystery. So when you're feeling like you're really overwhelmed, just stop everything. Think of other times in the past, maybe you were really stressed out and you got through it. All right. Because, you know, some these are phases that we go through. So to just try to like break it down, spend time in silence, spend time in nature, get away from the things that are stressful. All right. We're all connected too much today. We need to disconnect and just take that time to take care of yourself. You know, monitor, take care of your health, take care of your mental health. Those are important things because that's going to give you the strength to deal with whatever, you know, life throws at you.
Yeah, well, this has been so helpful, I know, for a lot of people. Me too. Allison, thank you so much, and God bless you. Great to see you.
You too. God bless.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, leaving a review. The Holy Father is back from his 12-day trip to Southeast Asia, and he noticed something interesting about the church there. Plus, amid the Israel-Hamas war, a priest from Germany explains why he refuses to leave his post in the Holy Land. The United Kingdom is set to unveil new restrictions against pro-lifers. The measure establishes so-called buffer zones around abortion clinics in England and Wales. The buffer is a 160-yard radius around the abortion business. The measure also makes it illegal to hand out pro-life leaflets within that area. The plan is set to take effect October 31st. Well, Pope Francis is reflecting on his recently completed 12-day trip to Southeast Asia, and he says the Catholic Church is more alive outside of Europe.
E anche, mi permetto dire, molto più viva.
During his weekly talk to pilgrims at the Vatican, the Holy Father says the church is much bigger than Rome or Europe, and he thanked God for his experiences in his four-nation trip, the longest of his pontificate. The 87-year-old says, quote, I thank the Lord who allowed me to do as an elderly pope what I would have liked to do as a young Jesuit. While the Holy Land has seen ongoing violence since Hamas attacked Israel in October of last year, the situation is especially difficult for Christians, many of whom say that they are under near constant threat. EWTN Vatican Bureau Chief Andreas Tannhauser sat down with a Benedictine abbot who, despite the danger, has decided to stay in Jerusalem.
I'm a German citizen. My government told me and also my other brothers, please leave the country. It's not secure anymore. So actively I said, no, I stay.
Father Nicodemus Schnabel is the abbot of the Dormition Abbey in Jerusalem, a sacred place where it is believed the Virgin Mary died and was assumed into heaven. Father Schnabel is one of the few who have decided to stay behind as the war between Israel and Hamas rages on. The situation makes it dangerous to be a Catholic.
I face more or less on a daily basis that these people spit in front of me or behind me. Sometimes they spit also, this cross had a lot of spitting attacks, or really physically attack me or say bad words about Jesus. So, and yes, throw stones through our windows, and also have arson attacks and others.
While the conflict in Gaza has caused the interreligious dialogue between Muslims, Jews, and Christians to fall apart, it has brought the Christian communities closer together.
Our enemies have a more ecumenical thinking than we, because they don't divide us by denomination. They hate us because we are Christians. And in fact, yes, maybe it's also a call to us to say, okay, if we are attacked because of our common baptism, maybe we should also live this common baptism, this common vocation as Christians, more authentic.
At the German Abbot's initiative, monks and faithful of different Christian rites and denominations, such as Armenian and Syriac Orthodox monks, as well as Anglicans, come together every Sunday for lunch. It is a moment to share their struggles and encourage each other to persevere. One of the biggest challenges they all face is the absence of pilgrims, which equals the absence of income. Father Nicodemus explains that the number of people they receive has declined from 5,000 a day to zero. Yet he keeps the abbey and the priory open for those in need of help and refuge.
We stay voluntarily in this ocean of suffering as islands of hope, and we stay open. Our both churches was never closed. Faithfully, we prayed our daily prayer from the morning till the evening we were there. That's the very first thing to say, yes, we are here. If you need us, we are here. You're welcome.
In Rome, Andreas Tonhauser, EWTN News Nightly.
And tonight, we want to leave you with pictures of the Walk the Cross pilgrimage in Ireland.
Your grace will be enough.
The event's purpose is to pray for the Emerald Isle, its children, the faithful, and the conversion of souls. The faithful from all four provinces of Ireland walked from Clonmacnoise, the earliest and foremost Irish monastic city, to Dublin. The procession lasted 4 days and covered almost 63 miles. And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.